praise the Lord. We greet you in Jesus' name. We traveled here. I'm from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, New Oxford. But we were staying in a cabin here last night, our whole family. Millerstown, about an hour's northwest of here. I was following a GPS, and we turned on this road out here and said about 1 minute we'd be there. And I saw the church, the brick church, or we pulled in there. I said, what type of church is this? They got a steeple. And I wasn't really offended about the steeple. And well, my wife said, well, this is a Methodist church. Are they Methodist? I said, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure where I was coming or who I was. I didn't know. It wouldn't be the first time I preached in a Methodist church. First time I was asked in a Methodist church was in Bahamas. I was quite honored to preach in a Methodist church, preach Jesus. Somebody mentioned about Catholic. I'm a converted Catholic. Does anybody here know me? Oh, yeah, you look familiar. Okay. But a lot of people don't know me. I'm a converted Catholic. I converted when I was 21. My wife's a Baltimore City girl in and out of foster care. And we did not know this way of life. My daddy was a long-haired, earring, tattoo, fighting, biking, smoking, drinking, no driver's license, didn't pay taxes, and couldn't keep his hands off of women. My daddy married my mother because back in those days, that's what you did when my mother was conceived of me and they got married. Two wrongs don't make a right. Marriage will never correct fornication and conception. It can. It's a good way. It's good to think about it. But anyway, it's our life. The scripture says that disciples of Jesus turned their worlds upside down there in the book of Acts. I like to think he turned my world right side up. Amen. I don't know what you think when you, I always get a little chuckle, you know, we pull in and our vehicle's dark collar. I get out looking old order. I'm thinking, what are these people? Well, they're probably thinking, oh, this is going to be a long sermon. It's going to be a long sermon. So hopefully this old order looking preacher don't intimidate you. And maybe this will loosen you up. I don't know if you ever seen an old order preacher do this. Hallelujah. You got, well, I feel at home already. I want to bless the youth here. You're sitting up front. Okay? Lord bless you. I'm going to preach back here. Lord bless you. Okay? Sisters. My wife asked me about 15 minutes before we got here. She says, are you preaching a Christmas story? And I thought, well, I don't know what type of people they are. Maybe they don't. You know, I've been around that Christmas is that we don't say that Christmas. We don't say Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas. We think it's Christ Mass. We think it's Catholicism, the Mass, the transformation, transfiguration of the bread into the actual body of Christ. Christmas, that's where I came from. So we, well, I think it's good that our country acknowledges the birth of Jesus. And my wife said, are you going to preach, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think about it. I thought, oh, my, I hope you. But we did a good job in Bible study. Okay, some people, you know, the Anabaptists, there was a concern about Sunday school. You know, the old forefathers, they didn't have Sunday school. And I thought, well, let's just call it Bible study. Why would you split on studying the Bible? I'm not quite sure about that. There's been a lot of splits over the years, wine or grape juice. And I thought, as a Catholic boy, I could have fixed that. I said, let's have vinegar. No, seriously. I mean, I don't want vinegar. It's not grape juice. It's not wine. I mean, but we split over those things, didn't we? Liquid. We split over liquid, too. What other types of liquid do we split on? Oh, yeah. Well, the amount of water. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? We split on hair. We split on collar. We split on, and I don't know your background. Any first-generation believers in here? Oh, sir. So if I can ask, you use Mennonite background? I mean, I don't want to get too, your Mennonite background, any Amish here? No Amish background? Just Mennonite. So what's that?
Way back.
Well, you sort of remind me a little bit. I could see it. Sorry. I shouldn't tell you this story. I don't know who was speaking up here. There was a sister up here had some knowledge when she spoke in Bible study. We don't allow our sisters to speak, but don't get offended by that, okay? Because my wife would be the first one to speak. She's a hallelujah woman too, you know. And I was at a Mennonite youth gathering up here at Path Valley, I think, or up in the second valley or third valley up here, and I think that's where it was. And I'm not even sure if it was Mennonite or Hope Fellowship. I'm not even sure. And we were preaching on Sunday night, and I was trying to get the young brethren up here to say amen. So I know you sisters, you know, you probably wouldn't feel comfortable. So I said, you know, if you don't feel, I said, just put up a sign, say, you know, just amen, just put it up. And Sunday morning came around, and I started preaching. And I said, amen. Some of the young brothers said, amen. I looked, there was about 15 of the sisters, the young sisters, put their amen signs up. And I like, I know we're not supposed to be laughing on Sunday morning. It's not our culture. And 50%, I apologize. I lost it. My mind went like blank. And I couldn't get it back. I had to wear, and after a while, the whole congregation started to clap. I said, now we're clapping. And I had a mic, and I hid the mic. I said, we're laughing, we're clapping. I said, we're not making good Mennonites this morning here. You know, when we come to church to worship, should be sober. But inside, we talk about joy. Are you at peace? It's a rest. My wife and I found that. Amidst the turmoil and homes being wrecked and divorce and violence and alcoholism. I was wrong. It wasn't 33 years, 37 years since I've been tempted of alcohol. I want to praise God. I could be tempted today or tomorrow. But I would think, you know, 37 years, things been dead. I mean, it's dead. Dead. I just thank the Lord because my daddy could drink 2 cases a day. A day. That's right, a day, every day, and function. The Lord took him 59 years of age, his liver and lungs gave out, smoking and drinking. But I want to say something about that. My daddy was never around, and I fought hard. I ain't going to be like my daddy. I fought hard. I had a devout grandmother, very devout Catholic grandmother. Holy water, rosary, candles, very devout. She would say this in my ears, and it rang in my ear. I could probably almost sing a country song, and this is what it said. It said, Johnny, I hope you don't grow up to be like your daddy. And I fought hard. I said, you know what? I'm going to show everybody. I'm not going to be like my daddy because I got resentment. Why don't I have a dad? Everybody else has a dad. Why don't I have a dad? My wife didn't have a mother. Well, she did, but divorce. It's painful. My daddy was living at a bar. I didn't expect to say this morning. How long we got to preach here? Oh, that's the wrong thing to say. I mean, you tell me. Woo! Then I'm going to look at the sisters here because they're in charge of that. I'm going to respect you sisters, okay? Forget the men over here. They'll eat burnt stuff. Eat it. My daddy was bartending at a bar. Of course, you can imagine. 24 to 48 beers a day. The day I got converted, I went and forgave my dad. Tattoos and earrings. He's my dad. I said, Dad, come here. You weren't around to be a dad. How about being around to be a grandpa? Didn't have no children at that time. is my dad. I want to share something. It's always been a burden in my heart. You would not have liked me the first 15, 20 years of my conversion. You would not have liked me. I preached like this. Telling everybody's negatives and everybody's fault. What was wrong? What was right? Wondering my wife. The Lord gave my wife grace, but 14 years into it, 14 years after I was converted, something happens in 2003. God started to work on me. So I was converted, but God had to roughen me up a little bit. I was a proud Pharisee. Do I look like it? Look at my hair. I got a pulled haircut. I mean, you have a beard? I haven't touched it. I mean, come on. I even got suspenders. Broad falls. Shoes that are 17th century. Come on. I mean, I know what fads and fashions are. Yeah. I know what that white pickup is in the corner. What's that thing pull? Is that pull a 12-dot bottom plow? The white pickup in the corner. You got the right kind of to Chevy. At least it's not a Dodge. Where is the young man that drove at? Is that you back there? Who drove at? Is that you? Yeah, okay. The white pickup? It's got tractor tires on it. Woo! I hope you sense some. Okay. I don't think we've done a very good job as our culture of our people, really, to preach on mental and emotional needs of our people. I ask the Lord to give me a gift. Give me a gift. You know, emotional, mental needs of our people. You know, we try to fix it. We'll pop a pill. You know, we institutions and we counsel some people at what Green Pastures and Phil Haven. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not speaking against those places. I think they were started by some plain people. I hope you allow me to say plain people. I don't know what you want to call it. But I was counseling a husband and a wife there, and the husband happened to look like me. But he was very gentle, very loving. He's a good husband. But there were some things he didn't want his wife to do. I'll just name one. Let me guess one. He might have said he didn't want his wife to wear flip-flops in public. Oh, nobody laughed at that. Ooh, that's touchy. I didn't allow my wife to wear flip-flops till we had an outreach in Bahamas. You know what I look like on the beach? Right like this. Look, I'll show it to you. Look, there's my tan line. My wife looks a little different. She wears a dress. And I allowed her to start to wear flip-flops. What's wrong with flip-flops in the Bahamas? Well, guess what? They came to America. Now we can wear. Getting off the subject. So we were counseling with this man is telling, you know, this woman, the sisters, be very careful you don't use your emotional, mental against your husband. Men, let's be very careful we're not narcissists, preeminent dictators. I'm the head around here. I had different men in counsel that said, hey, he says, I'm trying to get my wife to submit. I showed her this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse, and this verse, and she won't submit. She said, what advice do you have for me? I said, shut your Bible. Quit preaching to her. What do you want me to do? I said, I want you to start washing the dishes. Oh, some of you felt like saying amen. I felt it. I felt it. You were going to say amen. You were going to let it slip. And his wife was one of them. She had some mental, and she felt like she was being abused, verbally abused. I don't know what to do with all that stuff today. The devil's wives. Honey, I
better than good service. You remember all the do what she wants you to do. Doesn't it do much good to say, hey, your dress, can you go, can you wear a plainer dress when you don't want to have family devotion? Well, my wife hits me on that one. Oh, I thought my wife would have said amen on that one. Family devotions, reading, talking with the children. You know, it's her children. Be very gentle.
Not this authoritative voice. Oh, am I good at that? I can pick out negative.
Renee, where did you get that sweater? Well, community aid.
Well, please take it back to community aid
or throw it away.
That looks ridiculous.
Us men to do that, it's pretty easy, isn't it? This is what's hard for some of us.
Renee, where did you get that? I like that. Looks very modest on you. I like the collar.
Doesn't look like this. You see sweaters like this? You know, well,
wonder what you think about what his vest is too short.
Sorry, sisters. I mean, you know, us men notice that stuff. I'm thinking, you know, what's the fat coming in? It's not the end of the world. Give me a little grace, okay? I have an excuse. I'm a converted Catholic, okay? I'm not a converted Amish man. I'm not a converted Mennonite. Well, can we give affirmation of praise? Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to try to mix in the birth of Christ. I love the birth of Christ. I just saw a sign somewhere that Jesus laid in the first king-size bed. I'm thinking, I looked at that sign. I got it. Jesus. I often wondered about that. When you think life's too hard and it's not fair, you just think about the man that was up here talking about joy and all the what Mary and Joseph had to do. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, there was, my wife and I tried to find a motel one night. I think we drove 2.5 hours. Everybody was closed. I mean, it was filled up. I mean, what's going on? Well, there's a football game and a race car game. And I said, exit after exit. I'm thinking, this is terrible. Now, my wife would say, let's call and make reservations. And I say, it'll be okay. And she's over there, What are we going to do? We can't get a motel, but sisters, can you imagine God being born in a stable? We think we got to have it good. Let me share something with you. I don't care if you get offended with me or not, but we're really spoiled in America. We are really spoiled. We stayed in a cabin with no cell phone service, and I thought that'd be great, but everybody's like everybody.
Service here. Where's the service?
I'm thinking, can't you relax? Then I found myself doing it.
Where do we gotta get this? Get this service.
I'm thinking, am I that? Lord, forgive me. Am I that? We'll never. We're in trouble in persecution. Lord, forgive us. We'll complain if the food burns. If you never ask me back to preach, I'll know why. Yeah, that preacher burns food. He knows how to burn the food. 1 Kings chapter 18. I don't know where to... Verse 21. I'm going to break in here to 21. I'm going to have two stories. What time do you usually stop? 11? 11:30? 11:30 will be all right. If you give me 11:30, I think that'll be close, but okay. The teacher up here said it's hard for you to teach. You have fear. Let me give you some food for thought here, okay? I call him Mr. Longbeard. I thought that fella got up. Look at there. Mrs. Allwine, my second grade teacher, flunked me because I was too shy. I was a shy boy. I was trying to figure out why I didn't have a dad. Am I different? Why doesn't my dad love me? Something wrong with me? 57 years old today, and I still deal with low self-esteem. So this is a little building, and if I start to talk loud, too loud, you just raise your hand. Sometimes I talk loud because I'm looking for attention. Maybe you can call it the praise of man. I'm looking for satisfaction. Well, not really, because I'll take the loss that others can win. I've served myself for 21 years, and I've been serving the Lord for 37 years, and I think I made more mistakes serving the Lord than I did. I confessed a lot after I was converted. Can we do that? We don't do that well. We don't.
Oh, we got a reputation to uphold. You know, we can't. Oh, what are the Methodist people going to think of us if we've got problems down here?
Oh, is it getting hot in here? If I was still sitting there, I'd shut that window because I like it warm. I got to put my coat on. I don't need to preach with my coat on, okay? I'm not traditional. I'm going to put it on. That feels better. 21, 1 Kings. Okay, this is what it says. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? We understand this opinion. We're not going to go into it too long. And I don't quite understand this at all. You know, Elijah was there and there was a problem here. And, you know, the prophets of Baal in verse 22 had 450 men and they said they were going to take two bullocks, let us choose one for themselves, cut it, pieces, and lay. And anyways, in verse 24 it says this, call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. That is like challenging to me. I mean, you want to, I'm a,
Mama, what's a good word for me? I know I'm an instigator, an agitator, an irritator, but I'm a prover, you know? I like to prove, I like to debate, I like to be right, don't I? Okay? Is that enough, brother? I would have made a good person. I know. Call out what about wrong. After I got converted, Peter, I don't know, Peter and I, we were two peas in a pod, Peter and I. I don't know, that would have been interesting. Jesus definitely would have spent more time in the garden if he had to deal with John, Wine, and Peter. There's no doubt he would have spent more time in the garden. He would have had to rest more. There's no doubt. But God calls some of us. I don't know why, but God calls us here.
Okay? And there's no doubt if God puts something,
it's coming out. But sometimes God does it. Sometimes I do it myself. I got to follow.
But this would have been an interesting conversation here. Now, I'm going to go into the New Testament here. Hopefully, I don't spend too much time here. I'm going to go to the New Testament. And try to contrast something here that I failed in my lifetime. I failed at this. So if I can say this. Now, give me just a little grace. I like. Okay, I remember emotional, mental. All of you probably weren't raised in this building, in this congregation. Is that right, my post? Okay. Well, I know what you're thinking now. And I'm thinking back, where did these people, I'd like to see a picture of their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. What, how, where? I'd like to see something. And all of us understood this. Listen, all of us understand this. Do you know what it is to be in a congregation that seems like they're right, they got the right doctrine, we really just can't say anything, what they're doing is wrong, but it just doesn't feel right. A lot of offenses, a lot of judgmental, a lot of fault finding, a lot of picking on people, a lot of nitpicking. We know that's right, right? And then we also know churches that can say, hallelujah, and are letting some of the ordinances and doctrines slip.
You follow along? Do I got you? Your brother, give me an amen. And we're constantly talking about that, aren't we? 37 years in the culture of your churches, of our churches, the Church of Jesus Christ, the only one church, different denomination, that has tormented me. Because I have caused more division in the churches than I did before I was unconverted. Because unconverted, there's no cross. You know, you just, there's no accountability. Let's go out and drink. Let's go out and party. Let's go out and race. Let's go out and blow black smoke. Let's go out. You know, it's just, you know, there's no accountability. Maybe the police, but you pay the fine and you go on. And it's, well, you know, come to the churches, there's some accountability that we have here. And we wrestle. And we have things here that, Lord, what's wrong with us? It's a burden on my heart. It's a burden on my heart. And I ain't preaching things. I'm preaching life. Before I say anything, I'm not preaching a plain coat, okay? Because you saw me take it off. So I guess it's not a conviction, right? It's not a conviction, but I took it off. I can't take my beard off, okay? But I took that off. What would you call this? Tradition? Bondage? You know what one brother called this? Garbage. Well, the buttons start falling off and it starts fraying and the seams start to come out. I'd probably call it garbage. You know what I call this thing? A coat. Why do you wear it? Because the Bible says if anybody asks for that coat, you got what to give to him. Let's see what's wrong with that.
But you know, this thing split us up, didn't it? Really, it wasn't the coat that split us up. I think it was the attitude, the negative spirit behind we're trying to push the coat. I'm sorry. I was standing in Fort Lauderdale looking the way I do. I was in Fort Lauderdale and I was in a line. I was getting ready to get on a plane. I was going to counsel some things in the Bahamas. I was by myself and I was sitting there. Well, I was standing there. It's a big line. We're waiting to go outside to board this small airplane to fly over to North Eleuthera, Bahamas. Nobody knows Chris Emery. Do they in the Bahamas? The outreach is there. Tim Wine. Okay. What's the other one? Wanger. Jason Wanger. Yeah, well, I'm in that mix there down here, okay? There's some heavy hitters too about here. Jason, him and I like to debate. We talk about him, but I was gonna have to get on to that when Jesus tempted. How was Jesus tempted? How did he explain that to me? Whatever he says, I'm gonna disagree. I was standing there, and about 20 feet behind me, a man said, "Good to see we got a man of God flying with us." And I went, and I'm not being critical. I turned around real slow, just about like this. Probably took me about 20, 25 seconds. I went real slow. Then when I got around and laid eyes on that man, I said, "Where is he at? I'd like to see what he looks like." And the man was looking right at me.
I don't know. I know what we're going to look like in heaven. White. I have a picture of myself in a white tuxedo. Can you imagine John White? That's my hair was longer than my beard back. And you know what else? I had a full white, I had white shoes, white pants, a white girth, a white vest, a white coat with a little pink tie up here, a little pink tie. My girlfriend, who got to be my wife, made me wear it. And I was submissive. I said, "But when I get converted, it's my turn." My wife and I have a lot of fun. You know what? I married a beauty pageant. My wife was homecoming on the homecoming court, local fire company queen in 87 in New Oxford. I don't know what she ever saw in me, but I did think if both of I could get converted, if I could get her in plain clothing, that she wouldn't look so attractive, but maybe I might have a chance to keep her. That wasn't the main reason, but I did think about that. That went through my mind. Can you imagine that? That went through my mind. My wife, oh, she's smiling. I'm okay. She's always said, well, I didn't do this for you. I know that. Really, my wife and I got converted. It's amazing. We got converted. We just didn't join the church and get baptized, and then, oh, what's the bishop going to say? We don't want that around here. There's some thugs coming in the church. We need to have a brethren council meeting. Yeah, we got converted. I'm not sure why. You know, if you'd have me here for a couple, I'd really preach. But this is me. Oh, amen. I feel low. My wife and I have not done anything because the church said we had to. Take your paper that's written. Don't throw it away. Your church agreements. I don't like to call them church rules. I don't like to call them that. There's only one rule, that's Christ. Okay? I like to call them brotherhood agreements because they could be changed. I say that they could be. Hey, Lemmy, we made a lot of progression, didn't we? We got automobiles, we got electric, we got phones, we got computers, we got cell phones.
We got the internet.
You know what? All that stuff really hasn't been good for us. We have it. But it hasn't been good for us. I'm convinced it hasn't been good for us. There's many different flavors of brother, many different flavors of Mennonites, and you can find churches that are brother and Mennonite that accept divorce and remarriage and don't practice no ordinance. They're still Mennonite, they're still brother. Show me an Amish church like that. Does anybody know of an Amish church that will accept divorce and remarriage? Yeah, but they're practicing the ordinance, but you ought to see their young people. I understand. You must say, but y'all, what are you preaching? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm preaching, but let me tell you something. This message is this. We got to have the inward and the outward. What would happen if we have love one for another and we stop the kiss of charity? Think we'd be judged? Would we be judged? We don't greet one another anymore. You think we'd be judged? What if we didn't wash feet no more? Let's look at that. We didn't wash feet. We did everything. We practiced all the doctrine. We stopped washing feet. You think we'd make it? Boy, I don't know. Jesus says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Happy are you if you do these things. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm just trying to prick the, this is for me too. I don't know. Now, I am not saying as long as you wash feet, you can commit adultery and hide it. I'm not saying that. I understand all that. I'm just saying the small things. You know what I'm concerned more than I am with the church? I'm concerned more with the home. My wife and I have 9 children. The oldest will be 36, the youngest is 18. An 18 and 22-year-old home. And I sold out real hard that I'm going to be a daddy. I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a daddy. That's why I got converted to be a husband. Really, I didn't get converted to be saved. I did not get converted to be saved. I got converted to be a dad, and then God showed me salvation. You know the message of John the Baptist? What was the highest message that John the Baptist preached? You can tell me. What was his message? That's true, but that was not the message.
okay, let me keep your finger in Kings. This is my style of preaching. This is what happens to me. Hold on here. Luke, the second chapter. We were there. Luke, let's see if we can find it here. See what the Bible says. Luke, the second chapter. Let me think here once. Sorry, it's Luke, the first chapter. Luke, the first chapter, in verse 17. I think I'm right about this. Let's read verse 17, Luke 1, verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what his message was?
Oh, that's Malachi, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. I can't say I failed at that. I'm not a failure, but I failed a lot. I feel like I'm a below average father.
You know, men, there's some good words that we need to practice, and this is part of the message. Sisters, you'll like this. Men, sometimes we got to use these words, I love you. Oh, there's some smile. I love you. There's some other words we as Mennonites need to use is this. I'm sorry. Want another one? I was wrong. Oh. Will you forgive me? Fathers, you want to get the hearts of your children? Sit them down and say, you know what? Daddy was wrong. Sorry. I used to train children. I thought I had the upper element. When I used to raise my voice, I could get it up there. You're going to listen. You know what happened when they got to be mid to late teenagers?
They started to raise their voice too. That's what David did.
So I thought, well, this isn't working. You know what I started doing?
I took my voice and started to slow her down and just talk softly.
You know what they started to do? They lowered their voice. I'm thinking, all right, wait a minute, I'm the authority here.
I'm the head.
You know, if I'm preaching something right, doesn't matter if I'm angry.
Doesn't matter if I'm...
Boy, did I fail at that one. And then God showed me a verse in 2003, 14 years after I was converted, he was trying to soften me up. He said, John, you know the heart of the Holy Ghost? If you had to turn to one verse, what verse would you turn to explain the whole? What verse would you turn to? In Galatians, I think chapter 5. Left-hand page, left-hand column, three-quarters of the way down. The Thomas Nelson Bible. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You want to get the hearts of your people? Elijah here, and they said, it is well. Let's read here. It says in verse 26, I'm going to read on here fast, and they took the bullocks which was giving them, and they dressed it. We're back here in 1 Kings 18, okay, and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening, from morning even until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Elijah's mocking them. I want to, this is Old Testament here. I just want to say this, that boys, don't ever mock your parents and say, well, Elijah mocked. Elijah mocked. Don't. Hey, let's be careful. When I got converted, I tried to find the right church from 1998 to 2003. My wife and I were converted in 89. That's when we got married. We got married in a Catholic church.
In 1998 to 2003, I was trying to find the right church. I couldn't stop here because this one didn't exist, or maybe I would have found it. Okay. But you know, we all say there's no perfect church, right? And I was trying to find it. Okay. And when I went into a church, I wasn't worrying about their positives. I was worrying about their negatives. And if I found one, I was out of there. Imagine the frustration that was. My poor wife. I know men whose wives had nervous breakdowns because they couldn't settle into a congregation. Constantly talking about negative stuff. Fault finders. Women can be that way too. Does no good. So I started to think positive. Lord, let me be a servant. Let me serve. Let me serve that it hurts. Let me serve that it's painful. Let me take the loss that others can win. And you know what? You know, in our Anabaptist churches, if somebody confesses they're into pornography, what do we do? Well, there's a lot of things we could do, but one of the cultures is we would set them back for 6 months.
Oh, no, I can't look at you. You know, I did that in a church here not long ago, State College. I called him a next nuts. A little redhead fellow over here to my right. And I know some of you's got that collar hair, but I'm not preaching about red hair. Okay, my beard used to be red. Okay, it's a little darker under here. You can see the red hair, but the sun bleached it here. Okay. And you know what? I looked at this fella and I said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to call you my next nuts. And you know what? His daddy was starting to have problems with him.
I always tried to find perfect people. That's just, man, why can't I find people like me?
Not thinking, oh. Glad not everybody preaches like me. I'd get tired of it.
Well, how do you know? Because I got three fears. Needles. Get me in a boat and I can't see land. And the third one is ultimate. Hearing my voice on audio. Are you recording this? So most people can't stand their voice. I can't stand. I mean, I start to sweat. I think I break out in hives. You know, we always want to gravitate to holiness. What's right? Where's life? Where's relationship? Where's the less problems? We want to talk more positive. Let's talk more joyful things. Let's encourage our youth. I don't talk about problems. You know what? The Lord changed my mind. I'm not looking for perfect people. I'm looking for people that have a need. What are we going to do about it? I help out churches in Tennessee. You know the Overhaults, Nathan Overhaul, Christian Henry, Nathan Matthias Overhaul. We're helping their churches down here. He said, John, we got this and we got that. I said, look, I ain't worried about your problems. I'm just worried about if you see your problem. You know what I find myself now? I find myself gravitating towards those that have sin.
Now, I understand we've got to find victory. It doesn't do much good if we're all a bunch of sinners, a bunch of whoremongers, a bunch of thieves,
cursing the IRS, cursing the Democrats, cursing Donald Trump.
Really? I don't really think Donald Trump, I should have liked the guy. Yeah, I did. I think he's a good guy.
You know, I don't see nothing wrong with him. I don't see nothing wrong with Joe Biden.
Just the things they do. Supposed to love our enemies.
But here, Elijah mocked. Let's be careful. I said all of us to say this. If you want to know about our church, I will tell you all the negatives first. Then if you're still interested, then we'll get into the positives. Oh, yes, well, we fast twice a week. We give our alms, and we're glad we're not like them Mennonites. You know, you can chuckle, but we're guilty of that.
I'm glad I'm not like them.
Man, I'm not like them. Let's be careful.
That has haunted me for years. Actually, the whole culture thing is hurting. And I haven't done much good to try to be a builder, more of a, but I'm learning.
Here Elijah mocked. Elijah mocked and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking or pursuing. He's on a journey. Pre-adventure he sleepeth, in verse 27. And he must be awake. Then they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with, I don't understand this, and knives and latches, until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass that midday was passed at the prophets until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regardeth. Can you imagine this? Here's these 450 men they thought for sure. Now I'm going to ask a tough question. I know I'm supposed to be preaching, but I'm a little different.
I'm going to ask a question. Do you think it's possible that these prophets of Baal could have cast fire down for them? You think they were just all deceived?
I'm going to give you something to think about. You don't have to agree with me, but I think they could have. I think they could have. Now, I take revelations. When I read the Word of God, I take it literally, and then I spiritualize it. There's a lot of spiritual applications in the Scriptures, but I first take it literally. Revelation says that He'll cast fire down from heaven. I think it's in Revelation 13. He'll make the image of the beast to speak. Does he have that much power? How did that witch at Endor's prophesy to? What was a prophet? I forget the prophet. Sorry, I wasn't converted until I was 21, so you young men got a head start on me. And then some of them, you know, threw down their rod and they became a snake. And Moses, snake ate their snake. How did they do that? Hey, listen, let's be careful what we're touching out there in the world, what we're listening to, what we're turning on. He's the prince of power of the air. Okay, I ain't going to preach at you. I'm preaching for us. There's some evil spirits out there. Fathers, let's be careful. You can hide sin in your heart, but if it's hidden in your heart, you're bringing it into your home, it's going to affect your children. It will. You're looking at pornography in the truck. You bring that heart into your, it's like bringing pornography. Pornography's out in a truck, but you bring it in, it'll affect your home. Real stuff. Real stuff. Mothers, if you have unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart because something, and you can hide that, and you can go into your little shell that you don't speak, and you're very shy, that'll affect your children. Can. You know, we look at people and we're timid with people. You know, there was a charity man. He was Amish. Got converted. This Amishman got converted and went to charity, and he started to pass out tracts. And one day he was at a gas pump. and on the other side of the gas pumps, these three Harley bikers pulled in. Okay? You know, guys with the big beards and, you know, vest and on their bikers, and this charity man who's converted Amish, and he's converted, okay, he couldn't bring himself to hand a tract to these bikers, so he
walked in and he comes walking out. Guess what one of them bikers said to him? Hey, God bless you today. Didn't take much for the bikers to tell him, God bless you today. He said, John, I just had a hard time. I said, I wouldn't. They're my kind of people. Okay? I mean, I can sit on one of them bikes. You know? Imagine. I think I'll start out with this white pickup first. Okay. We got them around our circles too. I'm not being critical. One day that young man will get rid of it. He'll get married and have children, and he'll buy a minivan. Buy a minivan. He might put oversized tires on it for a while. If his wife's pregnant, she can't step up in the minivan. I'm sorry. At least I got your attention. You're not sleeping. You know, when I have a hard time, certain people on the other side of the gas pumps, people look just like me and won't give me eye contact. Lord, forgive me. It just happened to me in Tennessee. I pulled in and this white van pulled in and these plain people just like just started coming out. I said, well, how many is in there? Coming out after a while, this one man came over to me, you know, he had a hat and his beard and he's all black, looked like me, and fitch and ditch and ditch. I don't know if he's Dutch or German, you know. He started and I said, I'm a converted Catholic. I don't speak was it wrong to speak English? Yeah, I hope I'm not being too critical. I guess, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, we're all trying to get there, aren't we? We're all trying to please. No, we all want what's right. We want peace in here. We want sins forgiven. We want to be transformed. We want something like, what's the word I want here? When a butterfly, a worm or a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. What's that? Metamorphosis. Yeah, that's a hard word for me to say. Metamorphosis. It was a hard word for me to say unanimous. I couldn't say unanimous for years, and I was just unanimous, unanimous, unanimous. I don't have the best of grammar. You know, I can say learned, you know. South Central Pennsylvania, I started talking about a color. No, it's a collar. This is a color. Color, this is a collar. A rule, not a hamburger rule, it's a rule. I got my flip phone out. I found it a couple years ago, got voice texting. And I thought, boy, this thing taught me a lot. But you know, I text a bull, B-U-L-L. B-U-L-L, B-O-W-L, bull, bow, boo. I couldn't get this B-O-W-L. I told my wife to say bull, and she said bull, and it's spelled B-U-L-L. I thought, I'm starting to sweat. Settle down. These guys, you know, I took a lesson way before I started to preach. I was just converted a couple months in how to prepare a spoken message. So I was a shy fellow. You know, they called on people to pray in church. And I was, don't call on me. And I had a teacher in there, and I'll never forget, Harold Martin, who wrote Bible Help. So if you know anything about Bible, BRF, Harold Martin, I sat under his teaching. And he was that precise in the verse that says, what is the, if I get this, the width, the length, the depth, height. He said, it's not width, length, depth, height. It's width, length, depth, height. Width, height. It's not height. Height. Width, height. I thought, I'll never make it. I'll be concentrating on how to say it, more or less, getting into the spirit to preach what I'm preaching. Let's be careful of our slang words. Yeah, dude. Hey, bro. Oh, my, where's that coming from? Hey, bro. Yeah, well, we're brothers. Brother?
And Elijah came near. Verse 31, he said he took 12 stones. We know this account. He built this altar and he built a trench. And we know that it was a drought here. And my Bible says barrels. Some say buckets. I like to think barrels. What was it, four? In verse 33, and he filled four barrels of water and poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. These were barrels. I'm picturing like a 55-gallon drum. That's about what I'm picturing. I don't know what this thing looked like, but it was a drought here. And it was on top of a mountain. Now, it's amazing. You can drill a well on a mountain. You can get water. In the Bahamas, on Spanish wells, the Spaniards landed there and conquered what we call Spanish wells there in North Eleuthera, Bahamas. Bahamas has 700 islands, but 33 are inhabited. You could drill a well in the midst of that island. That island's only a mile and a half long, a half a mile wide. Got the Pacific Ocean all around you. You can drill down there
What did they say? No more than 100 feet. And you get fresh water.
That's just amazing to me. Where's the fresh? Well, it's just got sponge. They got filters underneath there. Filters out the salt before it. Our God. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how that. But here it was, water. Did it a second time. Did it a third time. And we know this account in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the evening, the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am the servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. And it said in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. And all the people said in a couple of verses, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Turn with me to John, I think it's chapter 8. Now, we're going into something here just a little different. You might say, well, why? How do these two stories contrast? Well, if you give me a little bit, maybe my messages would feel a little different or be a little meaningful if I got them off the internet, but I'm not an internet preacher. John chapter 8. Let's read here. In verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? And this woman very quietly said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You might say, well, now, just what does this have to do with fire falling from heaven in Elijah? We understand that adultery, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10, we're living in the day of grace. Are you thankful for that? I mean, can you imagine? Let's just look at that. I just preached a little bit this last Sunday. Can you imagine? I don't know what I would have done. I would have showed up here, and outside the doors was a pile of rocks. I wonder what they're for. Some people that believe in shunning and the ban, there is a certain amount of discipline with that, but I don't think the scriptures teach avoidance of people, avoidance of activities of people. Okay? That's just my opinion. Okay? Our culture, 6 months, you prove them. We don't do that as brothers. If they ask for forgiveness, we forgive them. I'll greet them right on the spot. Okay? That's where I come from. Okay. Is there a type of proving if it's habituous? Absolutely. But if a man's really, truly sorry, he's crying, he's leaving, he's asking for forgiveness, I'm not sure why we need to prove it. I don't see that in the book of Acts. Spontaneously, they were baptized. Spontaneously, they did this. You know, I've seen in our circles, I think I got this right. The Mennonites will prove somebody 6 months before they baptize, but they'll put a man in the ministry right away. We'll baptize upon confession of faith, but we'll prove somebody 6 months before they preach. We got rid of that.
We don't, the scripture says, let a man first be proved, then let him use the office of a deacon. I think you prove a man by his life, not his office.
Well, if he starts to preach and he's a little bit like John Wayne, and how do we get rid of him?
Well, you just silence him. Hey, John, come here. I got it. Now, I understand you're going to take two or three. It's going to take two or maybe four of you to tell me. Okay? Really, I'm not that hard. I'd love to sit down and just sit and be quiet. Somebody said, can you do that? Yeah, get me in a car with my wife. The next 12 hours, I won't hardly talk when I get in the car. So I got hundreds of thousands and millions of miles in a truck with no radio and no CB, and I might get programs. My wife says, you don't talk. Get me out of the car. Is that right, Mama? Sometimes you're glad I'm quiet, aren't you? We got 5 minutes here. We're living in a day of grace, but in Hebrews it says, in so much more sore punishment, my own words, Hebrews chapter 10. If we reject Moses' law, so much more we reject the blood of the covenant. I just wonder. In Luke it says, Lazarus was tormented, and now he's not, and the rich man wasn't, and now the rich man's tormented. They sort of changed that. I just wonder, in judgment day, in the day of grace, we might be judged harder than those in the Old Testament in judgment day. I'm not trying to scare you. Yeah, I'm trying to scare you. It'd be all right. For the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You and Tommy get scared a little bit. Tommy, think about the fire of the Lord. Can you imagine just hearing those words? Can you imagine standing there hearing those words and saying, you know, he's looking for your name, and you're, hey, I don't see your name, but yeah, it's John Whiting. I don't see, he says, oh, yeah, it is. There I see it, John Whiting Jr., John Henry. I say, no, it's John James. Lord, it's got to be there. Look at my beard. Lord, I preached to your people. I preached to the Mennonites. Oh, Lord, I exalted you. He says, oh, wait a minute, I see it there. It looks like your name was erased. Lord, what did I do? He said, well, looks like there was somebody that irritated you that you couldn't forgive. Who is it, Lord? Give me a chance. Oh, yes, Lord, I remember. You can't do nothing about it. And he hear those words, depart from me, you know, the fire. You know, I didn't get converted by the love of God. No, excuse me. I got convicted by the judgment of God, the hell of God, burning in eternity. And I thought, Lord, I'm trying to figure this life. This life was tormenting to me. Why don't I have a dad? Why am I dealing with peer pressure? How do I keep my girlfriend? Show me how to be a father. Show me how to be a husband. Lord, help me how to make money. Come from a poor family. My mother was 15 children, a two-bedroom house. My dad drank all his money away. 59 years, he died, $268. Call you. Sorry. If I wake her up. Well, that's her way of saying praise the Lord. She's saying amen. I can interpret that, sweetheart. My dad's probably worth $3,000 or $4,000. You know, if we miss it, time to forgive people. Time to let our offenses. Time to say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I love you. But here's these stones. I wonder how many people were stoned every year in the Old Testament. It certainly didn't stop them, did it? If stones don't stop them, you think 6 months proving is going to stop them? We need something more. Transformation, power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, I don't know how it works. I know it works. I don't know how it works. How can some people get it, some people don't? Some people let their offenses go and some people are a little tight. Tight. Can't forgive. But you're going to have to. This woman was caught in adultery. I like to take 3 points, this woman. There's 3 things. For years, I was a man of righteousness. You had to get it right. Because if you didn't get it right, and if you're wrong, then you're not of God, because God's never wrong. You know people like that? We got to get it right. I mean, if something's wrong, then we can't be of God. I mean, we got to get it right, righteousness. And when we're so bent on righteousness.
Now listen, please listen. If I'm re-recorded, I do not want to water down righteousness. We got to get it right.
This woman was brought, step number one, she was brought in adultery because righteousness says that it was sin.
You know people that focus on that, right? All they can talk about what is wrong. What is wrong? We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be listening to that.
Well, that's part of it. I'm sorry I have to preach that. Number one, we got to get it right. Righteousness. Now I'm going to step over here to number three. This is called right living. This is sanctification. Go and sin no more. Did you hear that? So we got to preach what's right, and we got to make sure we're living what's right.
Go and sin no more. Did you get it? Hey, us plain people, that's what we're looking for, right?
As long as we're right. As long as we're living right.
You get it?
Step number two. This is what a lot of us miss. Are you ready?
Can you see this woman, step number one? She was brought in adultery. Can you see her just having her covering up? Can you see her like that? She's sort of shame. She's called in adultery in the very act. Wait to get stoned? Can you imagine?
Over here, step number three.
She's still like that. Go and sin no more. Give me the commandment. Look, don't ever do it again.
Point number two, she hears his words. Neither do I condemn thee.
Or what did you say? You're not going to stop me. But I've sinned. I've sinned, Lord.
I've sinned. You know, it's a doctrine. It says we need to confess our sins. You know, there was a charity church out in Ohio, and the bishop there, they were getting ready to have revivals, and he thought it was good. And he said, you know what? Couple days before revivals, how about everybody get together? We're going to get in circles, and everybody's going to confess something about their life. We're going to confess a sin. You know what? The bishop didn't know how it was going to go, so everybody's around these circles, and the bishop went first. And he looked up and saw somebody he didn't know. Somebody in his congregation invited a visitor. And he thought, now, everybody knew we were going to confess something here. What would be in your right minds to bring a visitor to our church when everybody's going to sit around and confess what we're doing wrong? And he was conscious of this. So he figured he got to start first, and he confessed it, and it went around, and went the whole way around back to him again. Everybody confessed, and there was one more person.
It didn't confess it. It was this visitor. That visitor was a woman. Stood up and threw herself in the middle of the floor and said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I need help. You know, when you write down on a piece of paper, no internet. But how do we keep the internet out of the hearts of our people? Now, I'm not preaching against the internet. I'm just, okay? What's the power? How can we get people on their own to confess? I got bitterness. I got envy. I got lust. I got jealousy. There's a person I can't stand. I'm concerned about a progression towards the world. What's that? I think Jesus brought a lesson here that this woman was touched not because Jesus preached righteousness, although we need that. Not because he preached over here sanctification, although we need that.
Not much good doing it right and living right
if we're not willing to confess we've sinned. I have not touched alcohol since I've been converted, 37 years, but I have lost it. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Is it raining? No. Does it have dominion? No. Am I in bondage to it? Absolutely not. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. But I'm also can humble myself and I can confess it. I wonder how many bishops can do that. Somebody's back here smiling. We got a lot of good holy bishops. There's a lot of so-called people that are supposed to be examples. I don't like to call them leaders. They're not leaders of the church. Then we got followers. But we need to respect the headship of our officials. I'm a bishop also. But I consider myself a sheep. I'm not the bishop. I hold the office. But I step out of the office. I'm just a sheep. And I can sin. But God has called me to be an example. And it's very, very critical for me to be an example. Can we look here? Here again,
I'm not necessarily preaching that, hey, go out to sin. Go out and sow your wild oats. They give you something to confess about. You know, get pretty old.
All we're doing is confessing our faults. We need to move on to sanctification. We need to move on to victory. Let's praise the Lord what we've been delivered from and we've been freed from. Thank the Lord. But also, I'm concerned the hearts of our people. You look good. You sound good. You act good. What's in the heart? What's in my heart? Am I hiding anything from my wife? My wife hiding anything from me? Is the church people hiding anything from the brotherhood? Neither do I condemn. Go to sin. Have you ever been to people where you just feel like you can't fellowship with no more? And you just
walk out the door. You just,
I'm done with it. You know what? Let's be careful.
Because if those people, we think they're proud or stiff or offensive or whatever they are, all they got to do is ask for forgiveness
and the Lord draws towards them.
We drew away,
but the Lord draws towards them.
I don't know what you all are thinking. I don't know how to respond or deal with all that, but I do know this. If we can't forgive men their trespasses and love one another, how much sin's going to enter heaven? That's sober. None. Lord, continue to sift me. Continue to break me. Continue to humble me that I can confess. You know, we should be able to say, hey, look, I have sinned. I'm sorry. Strength of the church. Hey, you ever been in a revival meeting? I should close here. You ever been in a revival meeting and somebody gets right with God and they're up here bawling their eyes out? They're just weeping and wailing and bawling their eyes out and saying, Lord, I'm unforgiven. What happens when they're confessing their sin? What happens to the congregation? Gets contagious. I don't care if you're a proud Mennonite. Y'all learn to cry. No, I can fake it. Oh, Lord. That's our type of speaking in tongues with groanings that can't be uttered. Oh, Lord. You need to learn to do that.
When was the last time it touched the people to break them? And I come up here and said, yeah, well, I'm a converted Catholic and I haven't touched my beard for 37 years. I said, Lord. Guy comes up here and preaches, confesses everything he's doing right. What's it do to us? If we're not careful, we live that way.
I'm not the only guy that's got a nice beard in here. I like his too.
Dark, I like your collar better than mine.
I hope the Lord has spoken. 50%, I apologize. I'm a little bit out of the box of a preacher, but you've been a good audience. I can say I love you. Keep on the narrow way. I felt at home here. Keep on the narrow way. Open those hearts and let the Holy Ghost deal with it. Okay? Let the Holy Ghost deal with it. Because at Judgment Day, you know, we're supposed to know that we have eternal life. We're supposed to rest. But I'll be glad when that day's over. Lord, you told me that you really to enter in. I'm going in. Really? Woo!